God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. I pray, God, that as we read your word today, that you will speak to us, that you will guide our thoughts, draw our hearts to you, make us love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, as you know, when we're in between series and we're talking about a topic, we tend to jump around the Bible a bit more than we do when we're in one place and we look at, you know, a specific section. So because of that, I would encourage you, jot down the verses that we look at, and before you just take them at face value and apply them, go back and look at the context throughout the week. Even if that would be your devotional time throughout the week, grab the verses and look at the context around them, and make sure that what is being taught here is what is coming from that passage in the Bible. Sound good? All right, moving on. The question I want to look at today, and we're going to look at it throughout the whole message and draw out from the Bible why this is the most important question in life that you can ask yourself, or one of the most, top three, is what do you really want? What do you really want? If this is the most important question, the irony is that it's a question that we least ask of ourselves as we live day to day. I think we'll see that as we get into it. But the question is, what do you really want? What's your deepest desire? What's the most profound desire that you have? And I know that changes over time, even from one part of the day to the next. Something can happen. All of a sudden, what you most want changes. But in life, what is it that you most want? And there are two big, this is kind of a big, you know, like taking an analysis of my life, taking, okay, where am I at, taking inventory of where my life is right now, a big topic. There's really two big ways you can go with that question. One is, you could go in the direction of, what I really want is God. I want to know God and be known by God. I want to work with God. I want my life and God and God's being to be connected. I want to somehow know Christ, not in my head, but in my heart as well. Not just in my head, but in my heart as well. I want to have a connection with my Creator. I want to be united. And the other answer to that question is, I want what I can get from this life. I want things in this life. I want this life and my life and what I can grab onto, what I can experience, or I want God. What do you really want? And before, let's talk about this a little bit, before you just automatically say, well, I'm in church on a Sunday morning, obviously I want God. Let's just talk about it a little bit, because this question is so big and so important. This is the question that Jesus drove people to his whole life. This is the question that every time he got serious with people, that he tried to make people look at. Look at Matthew 19, for example. So the context is, there's this rich guy who comes to Jesus and says, what do I have to do? And Jesus talks with him. And then at the end, Jesus drives his disciples to look at this question for themselves. He makes the rich guy look at the question. But that's a longer story than what he tells his disciples. But he drives his disciples to look at this question. Look at verse, let's do 29, Matthew 19, 29. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands, so your life, your stuff, for my name's sake, so for me, for knowing me, for being united to me, for my kingdom, will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. He's driving them to this decision of, okay, is it your life or is it me? One or the other. Look a little farther. Look over to Luke 14. He does the same thing now, not just all of his disciples, but to everybody who's following him, all these crowds who were listening to his teaching. Look at verse 25. Yeah, Luke 14, 25. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me, so if you want me, if you want to be connected to me, if you want your life and God to be one, if you want what I'm offering as the Savior of the world, if you come to me and does not, and here's where he makes them choose, and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. He's making them choose between being united to God and being with God and having your life and God's being so intimately connected with God that you lose everything else. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He was making them choose. Look at verse 33, then drop down. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all he has cannot be my disciple. Making them choose my life or being my follower. My personal life or being Jesus' follower. It's one or the other. He drove them time and time again to this choice. Look a couple pages before that at Luke 9, 23. He said to all, if anyone, so that includes his 12, that includes all the people listening, that includes us, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Die to yourself, so it's your life, or being united to me and my purposes and my kingdom and to the Father. For whoever would save his life will end up losing it. Well, it doesn't say end up losing it. We'll lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Jesus, time after time and time, again, repeated this question to his followers and drove his followers to this question, not just asking it, but making them choose. Will it be your life and everything around you that you can get, or will it be me and you not being united to me and to my purposes and to the Father? It has to be one or the other. Our answer to this question determines our life. It determines everything about our life. It determines how we live and what we think about and where we spend our time. It determines what our relationship with God looks like. If you want to know the real reason, if you say, you know, I'm just not reading the Bible very much and I don't know, and when I pray, it feels so dry, and so I really don't pray a lot and I'm not reading the Bible. Okay, if you want to diagnose that, at the root of that is the question, what do you want? What do you want? Because what we want, if we want Jesus and be connected to him and to the Father, or if we want our lives, we'll end up driving everything we do and how we live our lives and what our relationship with God looks like. And ultimately, Jesus in those verses said it will end up determining our eternity. What determines our eternity is not if we come to church on Sundays and are good people. What determines our eternity ultimately is what we want. And the irony, as big and as important as that question is, and how much Jesus asked that question and drove people to choose, the irony, we don't make that choice. We don't think very much about that question. It's not ever present on our minds. What do I most want? Do I want to be connected to the Father and to his purposes in the world, or do I want my life? Which one of those do I want? Which one of those am I choosing right now? Which one of those am I choosing as I think about my career, as I think about my family, as I think about this and that and the other, and all the decisions that I make every day, and all the things that I do, and what I talk about with my friends, and who my friends are, and what I do with them, and what do I really want? We don't think about that question. We have a natural response to the question. We have a natural answer, a default answer to the question. And so that's why we don't think about it very much. We naturally answer the question without even thinking about it. And so even as we read verses like this today, we already have an answer to that question. It's a natural answer that just comes out in how we live, and we don't think through the question and force ourselves to answer it. And I think today that we are being asked by the text to answer that question. Our natural reaction, our default reaction is, well, I really do want the material. I really do want my life. I really do want all of the things that I can get out of this life. For example, I want the relationships. What's most important to me? If you say, well, okay, what do you really, really want? I think most of us would come down on the side of relationships and things and experiences. Relationships and things and experiences. Relationships, the people that I have in my life. That's what's really important to me. I mean, at the end of the day, that is the most important thing. It's who I have in my life. Whether that's a romantic relationship, if I could just find that one person, my life would be complete. or now I have that person and I can't lose them because now my life would be horrible and destroyed, or whether it's family and our family becomes the most important thing to us, or our friendships with other people become the most important thing. The relationships we have in our lives are what we normally end up choosing when we go with our natural response to the question of what do you really want in life, and we say, well, my life. Our relationships are a big part of that. One is, so if you answer the question for yourself, just to kind of diagnose your heart, who is it in your life, who is it that you need in order to feel complete? Now, that may be somebody or a group of people that you already have, maybe your children or your spouse, or maybe somebody that you're looking for. And if I could just find that person, I would be complete. But see, the reason we all have an answer to that question, who is the person you need in your life to feel truly complete? And if that person were taken out of your life, you would feel just devastated. And if you're not sure your life would be worth living. Well, the reason we all have an answer to that is because by default, when we hear the question, what do you really want? Our natural reaction and our natural response is, I want this life. I need that person to feel complete. Or maybe it's not just people, it's also things and health and comfort. It's what we have in this life. I have my health. I'm physically fit, and I have these things, and I have my car and my house, and I have the toys that I like, and I have these things. I have my comfort. And if any of that's taken away, life would be not nearly as good. I wouldn't be nearly as happy. So answer the question, what do you have to have in order to be happy? And maybe for you, that's something you already have, and you say, if I lost that, I would just be miserable. Or maybe it's something that you want, and you put so much hope in getting that, that you say, if I could, I know when I get that, I will be happy. Who are the people, and what are the things that you have to feel complete, to be happy? And what are the experiences, the achievements, the pleasures that you have to experience in order to be happy? For some people, it's, if I don't get to the weekend and drink that certain thing with that group of people, the week's not worth living. Or maybe it's, if I can't get to the end of the day and have the kids in bed and watch my show, it's, the day's kind of ruined. That makes my day. That makes me happy. Or maybe it's at work. If I'm not at a certain point in my career, by the time I hit a certain age, I'm a failure. Or maybe it's in school. If I don't get these grades and graduate and get set up in this way, my life won't be worth living. What do you have to achieve or experience, whether it's a big thing or just a daily, I do this every day and it makes me happy, in order to be satisfied? Who are the people? What are the things? What are the experiences that really make you happy? And the reason why we can all answer those questions is because our natural response to the question, what's really important to you, to me, is this life. It's the people and the things and the experiences of this life. And so then what we end up doing with these things is we end up creating idols out of them. An idol is something that replaces God in our hearts. And so now all of a sudden, the most important thing to me in my heart is not God. God's very important, but my wife and children are more important than God. Or achieving this monetary goal is more important than God. Or getting that new car or new house or new pair of shoes is really what will make me happy. Yeah, God makes me happy, but this makes me really happy. We create idols out of the things in our lives, and then we use God to get them. And we lash out at God when we lose them. Have you ever experienced that in your own life? You want something so bad, or you see someone who wants something so bad, and all of a sudden you start seeking God. Because your hope is underneath that if I seek God, He will give me this. If I seek God, then my family's going to come together and things will go better at work and I'll become a better person and life will go better. And, well, what do you really want? Do you really want God? Or do you really want God to give you your best life now? What do you really want? Well, I really want my best life now. And if God helps me get there, that would be phenomenal. See, we use God to get what we want. And we know that because when what's most important to us is taken away, What? Who do we lash out at? Just by instinct. It's God. How could you do this to me? Have you ever thought, if I lost this person, or if I lost this, I'm not sure I could go back to church on Sunday. I don't know where my faith would be. I've thought that. My wife was really sick a couple of years ago, and all the symptoms pointed to leukemia and cancer, and she still has some. They don't know what it is, but enough tests went by that they don't think she has cancer or anything. But at the time, that's what everything pointed to. And so I went through a mental process of, I very well could lose my wife in the short term. And then I started thinking through that process of, I'm not sure what that would do to my relationship with God. Okay, what was going on in my heart? I was seeing that what I really wanted, yes, I love Jesus, but what I really want in life is my wife. And if God takes that away from me, I'm not sure how good we're going to be. That means that's more important than this. We use God to get what we want, and we lash out at God when he doesn't give us what we want, or when he takes it away, or when we read the Bible and we find out, oh, this thing that's really important to me, God says, I can't have that. You see this the most in, at least pastorally, I see this the most in dating relationships, not just young people, middle age, old people, every age of people, but dating relationships of Christians who start dating non-Christians. And then in the Word, they see, oh my, I'm not supposed to, as a child of God, I'm not supposed to be in a dating, romantic relationship with someone who's not God's child. The Bible says we don't have anything in common in a spiritual sense. I don't know. I'm going to take a couple steps away from God because he can't ask me to give this up. See, what we really want becomes apparent when it's taken away from us, or when God says no, or when we look to God to get what we want. And the irony is, when we answer the question, what do you really want? And we say, well, what I really want, I mean, I don't think through it in this way normally, but when I look at my life, yes, by default, I want the relationships and I want the things and the experiences. I want what this life has to offer. That's what I really want. That's what's most important to me. Okay, when we say that, and then we put those in God's place, the ironic thing is none of those things truly satisfy. None of the things that we say, that's what I really want, none of it really satisfies. If you say, I have to have this professional achievement, and then you achieve that, have you ever done that? How satisfied or how empty do you feel when you finally get that? It's like, I was living for that, and now I'm there. And then there's something else. Or maybe it's physical things, and you finally save up the money, or you finally are able to buy what you've been living to buy for so long, and then it's like, I have it. And then you see something else you want. You live for finding a spouse or for having children or for being able to be away from your spouse, whatever the case may be, for whatever relationally, whatever. And then you're in that relationship and you have the children, you have the spouse, and you say, well, that's wonderful. Still not completely satisfied. Well, why? Because the things that we look to in life to fulfill us end up not completely fulfilling us. We look forward all day to sitting down with that bowl of ice cream and watching that show. And then life's going to be good. But then we're done and we wake up the next day and we need to do it again because it didn't completely satisfy us. Nothing does. The big idea, flip over to Philippians, we'll get there in a minute. The big idea in all of this is that the other option is much better. God says, what do you want, me or this life? Jesus pushes his followers to choose between him or this life. And most of us never answer that question out loud, but by default, we choose this life. That's what's most important to us. And we try to use God to get this life. The big idea is that the other option, choosing God, choosing Jesus, is much better. It is much better. What's that second option? It's choosing to be God's child. It's having a relationship with the creator of the universe. Being the child of the king of all creation. That is much better than anything else, any other relationship or any experience or any achievement that you or I could achieve in this life or accomplish or get in this life. Working with Jesus to help other people know God, bringing other people into that relationship with the Father, is much better than anything that we could accomplish or anything we could get. In fact, when you've stood in the water and baptized someone that you've studied with, all of a sudden, all the other stuff that you run after in life pales in comparison to that. Being close, intimately connected to Jesus, to the Savior, to God, to the King, being able to talk to Him and not just, "Dear God, thank you for this food, amen," but actually talking to God and knowing that He's hearing you and there's a conversation going on. And reading the Word and listening to His voice, and it's not just a dry, "I have to read the Bible today so that I don't feel guilty when Sunday comes and they say, have you read your Bible?" But rather, I'm reading the Bible and God's actually talking to me. And now I have to go to work, but I'm going to put my Bible in my briefcase or purse or whatever bag thing I carry, because at lunch, I want to hear more from Him because He's actually talking to me. And then in the interim, in the meantime, when I can't be reading it, I'm thinking, and all of a sudden, God's Spirit is in me, and now He's making me think about what I read, and He's bringing insights to mind, and He's actually giving me words to talk to other people, and I feel like there is this active connection as I read and as I pray and as the Spirit guides me throughout the day, a living connection with the Father. That is so much better than anything else we could experience or anything else we could achieve. The second option, what is most important to you? The second option, Jesus, being connected to the Father, is much better. Look at Philippians 3. Paul here has listed a whole bunch of things that were his worldly achievements, the things that he had gone after in life and he had achieved, and he had quite the list. I mean, it's one thing to hear someone talk about, "Oh, God is better," if they haven't accomplished much and don't have much and, you know, they have no one in their life and no one loves them and they have no family and they're a very lonely person and they haven't done anything and they don't have anything in the world to show for it and they say, "Oh, God is better." Well, you say, "Well, yeah, but you have nothing to compare it to. I mean, the stuff that I have in my life, you don't have. If you had what I had, maybe there would be a little bit more of a discussion for you." Paul lists out everything from coming from a prestigious family to having impeccable credentials, to having an incredible education, to being a respected person in the community, in the religious community, and in the secular community. He lists out all of these things from his moral standing. He lists out all of these things that he has been able to grab onto in life. And then look at what he says. The second option is better. But whatever, I'm sorry, verse 7, Philippians 3, 7. "But whatever gain I had..." So everything I grabbed onto in life, everything I was able to grab onto, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. I made the switch. I said, "I have all this. Getting Christ is much better. Indeed, I counted everything as loss." So anything I could get, not just what I have, which was substantial, but anything I could get, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, of knowing Him, of being connected to Jesus. He says that's so much better than everything I had and anything I could gain. Keep losing my place. "For His sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. I've given it up." When Jesus said, "Give up your life and get me," Paul said, "I actually did that." That wasn't theory. I didn't say, "Well, you don't mean really give up your life. You mean be good and go to church." I actually gave up everything, and I got Jesus, and it was so much better. I know Him. "For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." I have gotten Christ. I'm in a relationship with the Savior and be found in Him. So I'm covered in His blood, and I have His righteousness applied to me, and in the Father's eyes I'm perfect because I am in Jesus. I have gained Christ. I've given up everything, but I've gained Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may, look at verse 10, know Him. That I may know Him. It's knowing God, not having a mental, okay, I I realize that God exists and I have made a decision and now I'm going to go to heaven and not hell. It's knowing God in the way that you are intimately acquainted with the people that are most important to you in your life, that I may know God and the power of his resurrection, the resurrection of Christ, may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. He says, listen, listen, the most important thing to me, I've given up everything so I can know him and be in him, be connected to him, and live my life for his purposes so that other people will know him. That's what's most important to me. The second option is so much better. Look at Acts chapter 20. Paul says the same thing, but he just kind of shrinks it down to one verse. Acts 20, 24. And he's, in the context, he's talking about the different problems that are going to face him and the suffering he's going to go through. He said, but I do not count my life of any value or as precious to myself. Saying, I've made the switch. I've chosen. And it's not the default answer of, yes, my life is very valuable. I need my life. I love God, but I need my life. I don't count my life as valuable or precious. If only I may finish my course and the ministry I received for the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God, being united to Jesus, working with Jesus, helping other people know Jesus. That's what's the most important thing, Paul says. That is much better than anything that he could or did experience in life. So the question comes to us today, what do you want? And it's important that we answer it. Because when we don't answer it, we just go through life valuing things in this life more than God by default. So God asks us today to stop and say, okay, wait a second. What do you want? What do you really want? You'll find it. You'll get it. Whatever you seek after, you will find one way or another. So it's important that you answer the question, what do you want? Because you'll find it. But one option is better than the other. And how you answer that question will affect everything in your life. What's most important to you will affect everything in your life. If what's most important to you are the relationships in your life, you know what one thing that you'll do is? You'll start changing what you believe to accommodate the people that God puts in your life. And all of a sudden, what you believe about God will change. And so that you can justify other people's sin, because if you confront them over their sin, you'll lose them. Or if what's most important to you is knowing God and taking other people to the Lord, you will look at every relationship in your life as the main reason you're in that relationship, whether it's your spouse or your children or your friends or the people you work with, as getting them to God. It'll affect everything you do in life. It'll affect what you do with your things. Will you chase after things and health and comforts as if that is the most important thing in life? Or will you chase after working with Jesus and helping other people know God as the most important thing? It'll affect your life. It'll affect what you look, where you look for your pleasure. If you look for your pleasure in the experiences, your ultimate pleasure in the experiences of this life, or if you look for your, you will look for your ultimate pleasure and your ultimate satisfaction in being close to the Father and hearing his voice and talking to him and letting God satisfy you. It will be one or the other. You have to choose. You can't say, I love my life and I love Jesus. Jesus says, no, you have to choose. It has to be one or the other. And listen, you'll see what your choice is. And you, even now you could see what your choice is by looking at your time and your thoughts and your money and what you talk about. That tells you what is most important to you. And it will tell you as you go through life what is most important to you. So, the question for us today, as people who are gathering around trying to follow Jesus, is to make a decision and decide what is most important to us. What do we really want? I think if you're a Christian, if you've decided to follow Jesus, I don't think in this life that no matter how much we say, I want to follow Jesus and I want that to be important to me, I don't think we ever do that fully, right? So there's always parts of our life that we value much more than God. And God uses moments like this to draw us back to himself and to say, okay, I want you to value me more. I want you to choose me more. I want you to choose your life less. And so I think for if you're a Christian, if you have repented and been baptized and decided to follow Jesus, I think that what we've seen today is Jesus pulling on you again and saying, okay, I want you to make the decision again. What's most important to you? I want you to wake up a little bit more. Say, okay, what is the Spirit pulling on me to do? Who should I be talking to? What project should I be doing with church? What should I be doing with my time with the Bible and fasting and praying and seeking the Father? I think I need to repent of valuing my life too much, whether it's relationships or things or experiences. I need to repent of that, and I need to value Jesus and His work more, and I need to put more of my time and my focus there. So if you're a Christ follower, if you're a Christian, listen to the Spirit today and repent of how you have valued your life more than Jesus, and let Him in practical ways move you back towards valuing Him even more. And if you're not a Christian, if you've never made the decision to repent and be baptized and follow Jesus, see, by not having made that decision, you've been choosing that something else would be more important than Christ. You've been choosing to make something else more important than Jesus. And the decision for you to follow Jesus is a decision of saying, He will be the most important thing. That's what repentance is. I will follow Him. He will be the most important thing. That's what I want. I'm choosing Him over my life. Whatever that means for the rest of my life, I'm choosing Him. And when you're baptized, you are sealing that decision. And when you're ready to make that decision to repent and be baptized and follow Jesus and choose Him, tell one of the men that there's water. You can be baptized. Why don't we stand? Why don't we pray? As we pray, think about the question, what is your next step in deciding to choose Jesus over your life? What is your next step, and what will you do? God, thank You for being good to us, and thank You for loving us, and thank You for, as we get comfortable in a religious routine, thank You for, in Your Word, waking us up once again and making us be faced with the decision that it's You or our life. That's always been the decision, always will be the decision. We have to choose You, we have to choose our life. And I pray, God, that You would draw us towards You, not in a legalistic, obligation-filled way where we feel like we have to and we're bad people and we're condemned, we feel condemnation because we've been choosing our own lives over You, but rather, Father, I pray that You would draw our hearts to You and help us see that You are better. Knowing You is better than any relationship that we could have with any other person in this world. Following You is better than anything else we could do with our time. Seeing other people come to You and come to know You is the most important thing and the best thing that we could experience. Spending time with You and feeling the connection, living connection with You through Your Spirit and through Your Word is the most incredible, most satisfying experience. Help us to know that and feel that and decide for that and then experience that as we live our lives. Help us to choose You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.